Welcome to The Notion of You. I'm Tashi Jones. And today, I want to start a little slower than usual. Not because we're easing into something light, but because we're touching something tender. So wherever you are right now, driving, holding laundry, sitting in silence, going for a walk, rocking a baby, lying on the floor, because your nervous system asked for it. I want you to pause. Take a breath in through your nose. Let your shoulders drop. Let your jaw soften. Unclench the part of you that's always bracing. You are safe here. This podcast is not a place you need to perform. It's not a place to be impressive or healed or productive. It's a place to be honest. And today's episode is for the woman who already knows she has a pattern she doesn't love. Maybe it's a habit she avoids talking about. The way she numbs, procrastinates, overthinks, or disconnects. But instead of seeing those things as evidence that she's broken, we're going to look at them as information. No shame, no fixing, just truth. Because honesty is where wholeness begins. This episode is called The Embarrassing Truth: Self-Sabotage, Bad Habits, and Why I Hated Myself for Doing This. And yes, there are things I used to do I didn't want anyone else to know about. Not because they were dramatic or destructive in the way the world sees, but because they were quiet betrayals of myself. And that kind of sabotage is the hardest to admit. I want to start with a confession. There was a season of my life, many, where I looked like I had it all together. I was functioning, I was capable, I was responsible. But behind the scenes, I was avoiding myself. I would over-research instead of decide. I would scroll instead of rest. I would keep myself busy instead of feel. I told myself I was just tired or overwhelmed or in a hard season. But the honest truth is I didn't trust myself. So I held on to control and micromanaged everything. I stayed in my head. I delayed decisions until the last possible second. Not because I was lazy, but because making a choice meant listening inward. And I didn't believe what I heard inside of me was safe. So instead, I stayed in patterns. Patterns that looked like productivity, but that felt like disconnection. So here's the part that matters. I hated myself for it. Not out loud, not consciously, but quietly. Every time I did that thing again, the scrolling, the numbing, the procrastinating, the self-abandonment disguised as being practical. There was this low-grade shame humming beneath everything. And shame does something dangerous. It doesn't motivate change. It freezes. Shame keeps you looping. Because when you believe something is wrong with you, you stop looking at what's actually happening. We talk about self-sabotage like it's some dramatic act, like blowing up your life or quitting something good, making reckless decisions. But for those who I work with, self-sabotage is subtle. It's choosing familiarity over truth. It's staying in what's known instead of what's aligned. Self-sabotage is not self-destruction. It's self-protection that has outlived its usefulness. Let me say that again. Your habits did not come from nowhere. They were formed when your nervous system learned what kept you safe. Avoidance, overthinking, numbing, perfectionism, people-pleasing, over-preparing. These were intelligent responses at one point. They helped you survive. They helped you cope. They helped you get through something. But survival strategies feel very different when you're trying to live. And this is where so many women get stuck. They try to shame themselves out of habits that once kept them alive. That never works. Because habits aren't moral failures, they're patterns. And patterns only change with awareness. Most of our habits are so mindless and automatic, we don't even know we're doing them. But when your life is built on these habits, you have to disrupt them and become aware to change your life. Not force, not punishment. Awareness. Here's what shame can sound like. Why can't I just stop? What is wrong with me? Everyone else seems to have this figured out already. I should be past this by now. Shame keeps you focused on who you think you are, instead of being curious about what is actually happening. And that curiosity is the doorway to change. Shame contracts your body, but curiosity will soften it. When you shame a habit, your nervous system reads danger. When you observe a habit, your nervous system feels space. And space is where choices live. So let's get really clear about this. If you keep doing something you say you don't want to, there's a reason. And the reason is never because you're weak. It's because that habit is meeting a need. So the question is no longer, how do I stop this? The question becomes, what is this protecting me from feeling? And this is where self-trust begins. Not with confidence, not with certainty, but with honesty. I want to name a few patterns here. Because sometimes hearing your experience spoken out loud is what breaks the spell. Could be avoidance. Or putting off decisions because deciding feels risky. Over-researching. Consuming information instead of integrating the wisdom you already know. Numbing, scrolling, snacking, drinking, staying busy, perfectionism, waiting until it's safe to begin, which means never beginning, overfunctioning, taking responsibility for everyone else so you don't have to sit with yourself. Underneath all of these things is the same. It's disconnection from your body, from your intuition, from God, from yourself. And when you're disconnected, you don't trust yourself. You look outward for answers, for permission, for certainty. But the more you look outward, the quieter your inner voice becomes. And eventually, you could forget it was ever there. This is not a personal failure. It's a cultural one. Because we live in a world that teaches women to override themselves. Your body says rest. Your mind says push. Your intuition says no, but your conditioning says to be nice. Your soul says slow. Your environment says to hurry. And when those messages conflict for long enough, you stop listening inward. Self-sabotage is not rebellion. It's grief. Grief for a self you stopped hearing. So let's slow down. I want to offer you a practice. Not to fix anything. Not to change anything. Just to see. For the next week, choose one habit. One thing you tend to judge yourself for. Maybe it's scrolling, overthinking, avoiding, reaching for something when you're overstimulated or overwhelmed. And instead of trying to stop it, I want you to observe it. When it happens, pause and ask gently, what was I feeling right before this? This isn't the time for analysis or letting yourself spiral. We're just noticing with curiosity. Were you tired, lonely, overstimulated, unsure, disconnected? Then ask, what did this habit give me in that moment? Maybe it's relief, or a distraction, or control, or comfort. This is how self-trust is rebuilt. By listening without punishment. By staying present with yourself instead of abandoning yourself again. And then, after a week, one final question. What do I actually need more of? Maybe it's rest, or safety, expression, support, slowness. And this can be how those habits soften, not through force, but through compassion. We are taught that change requires discipline, but being whole requires presence. You cannot hate yourself into becoming someone new. You can only love yourself into remembering who you are. Awareness is not passive. It's courageous. Because awareness means telling the truth. And the truth has a way of undoing patterns more gently. When you see your habit clearly, without the story, without the shame, without the identity you've attached to it, it loosens. Because these habits thrive in secrecy. When you bring them to light, they don't need to shout anymore. And this is why so many women feel relief simply being seen. Not fixed, but seen. And this is the heart of the work that I do. Helping women come back into relationships with themselves. Not to become someone better, but to return to who they were before the disconnection. Here's something I want to hear. You were never meant to do this alone. Self-trust is not built in isolation. It's built through consistent moments of safety. And for many women, that safety has been missing for a long time. And that's why these habits formed. That's why this disconnection happens. Not because you failed, because you adapted to do the best you could. And this is why I created Return to Wholeness. Not as a program to fix you, but as a support system to walk you home. Inside this book, we don't rush. We regulate. We journal. We reconnect to the body. We use simple nervous system practices. We bring in essential oil support, not as magic, but as anchors. We create daily rituals that feel doable. This is not about becoming a new version of yourself. It's about remembering the one you left behind. The one who knows. The one who feels. The one who trusts. You don't need another course telling you what to do. You need a space that teaches you how to listen. I want to leave you with this. Your habits are not the enemy. They are messages. And when you listen with compassion, they stop needing to shout. If this episode stirred something in you, if you recognized yourself in these patterns, if you felt a softening instead of shame, that is your body responding to safety. Let that be what matters. This week, track one habit. Not to change it, but to understand it. And if you want support as you do this, if you want a guide that meets you with gentleness, you can find Return to Wholeness linked in the show notes. It's not a quick fix. It's a return. Next week, I'll be sharing how I turned all of this into a simple system that brings calm and clarity without pressure. Until then, take a deep breath, slow down, and remember, you are not broken. You are becoming honest, and that is where everything begins.